Welcome to the Nest Egg Podcast. This is Lori, and I'm here with my partner, Lisa. And we are part of 2X Wealth Group, which is a team at Ingalls & Snyder, a registered independent investment advisor. Today, we're going to talk about what we call a Pollyanna market. And for those of you that listen and read our blogs, you know that this is associated with a blog that we wrote recently called A Pollyanna Market.
Right. So for those of you who aren't quite sure what Pollyanna is, it's a character in a novel that was written in 1913.
Most people aren't that old, Lisa.
No, I know. And I keep telling Lori she should really take the drugs I take because I look really good for 110. Pollyanna was a young girl whose dad was fairly poor, and she was really disappointed one Christmas when instead of getting the doll she wanted, she got a pair of crutches. And her dad basically said to her, you know what, you never know what's going to happen in life or what you're going to get, and the best thing that you can do is maintain a positive attitude and look for the best in things. And so the whole story of Pollyanna is about how she goes through life looking for the best in things. And kind of unfortunately, Pollyanna became this word that means overly optimistic, unrealistically optimistic, like optimistic beyond belief. When in fact
she was an equity investor, not a debt investor.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
for sure.
Right. So that's what Pollyanna is all about. And in most people's minds, it means overly optimistic, which is what Lori means when she's talking about people's attitudes towards the market today.
Thus, I'm the equity investor. My father used to say when I would find a pile of horse manure, I thought there was a horse around there somewhere. So we call this a Pollyanna market because if you've just descended from Mars and we told you that three very good-sized U.S. banks had failed, that the Federal Reserve had raised rates 5% in 13 months.
And by the way, that's the fastest that it's ever been raised in about 45 years.
That the yield curve had been inverted since last year, and that the latest senior loan officer survey showed that banks were less willing to lend.
And we're already at recessionary lending levels.
And according to Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, we are within 2 weeks of the government running out of money to pay its obligations. If we told you all that, would you think that the market, as of today, I think it was 10%?
Up 10%.
Most people probably wouldn't have thought that. We're a little surprised as well. And we've talked a little bit about how the market is not particularly broad. So the average stock in the market, you know, is not seeing that kind of performance. But a number of very large cap stocks, particularly large tech stocks, have.
Right. I mean, basically, the market is up because of the top 10 stocks, which one would say is a pretty narrow breadth in terms of the way markets can go up, like in 2020 and 2021, when it was extremely broad and almost every stock, it was green across the screen. Almost every stock was up during up days, and that is not true now.
That's why most advisors are kind of skeptical about this market. And there are other things that make them skeptical. I mean, usually markets, as we've said in numerous podcasts and written about, they really don't bottom until you're in a recession. And since we think there is a recession coming, although this has been a bit like waiting for Godot, there are a number of things pointing to a recession. And one of the things that historically has been a really good indicator of both up business cycles and down business cycles, so they historically have turned down before recession and up before an expansion, something called the Conference Board Index of Leading Economic Indicators. And it's 10 economic indicators that we actually looked them up to make sure we knew what they all were. We're not going to bore you with
and especially when the first thing you get is Lay's and how to make them with flowers.
They confused Lay with LEI, Leading Economic Indicators. They didn't know the acronym. Anyway, so there are several things in there, including the S&P 500. We talk about a number of them, you know, in this blog that we do. We talk about the inverted yield curve. We talk about jobless claims, etc. So what the LEI is showing you, it looks like the leading, and this is LEI, not lay, are showing you that it looks like there's going to be economic weakness. And that is really difficult for equities. And in the blog that we wrote, we have an overlay of the LEI and the S&P 500. And it certainly doesn't bode well for the S&P 500 if the leading economic indicators continue to signal recession.
Yeah, and if anybody is looking at the chart, you'll notice the correlation is actually only 0.5% between the S&P 500 and the leading economic indicators. So when you have smaller moves, it doesn't really tell you much. But when you have big moves, it tells you a lot. And the reason we're pointing it out now is, you know, a year or two ago, leading economic indicators were up about 12 or 13%. It was positive 12 or 13%. And now they're down 7%. And so that's a really big downward move, and it happened very quickly. And so that type of move is really what becomes more predictive.
One of the things that everybody's talking about is how unemployment has really, you know, not risen to the levels that we've seen in past times that were right before a recession. And I guess there are a couple of things that come to mind. We've argued for some time that given the fact that we're not replacing ourselves, that unemployment is not going to go to the levels that it has in past recessions. That's the first thing that we'd say. And the second thing is that we just learned in the most recent numbers that came out, the numbers were problematic. It seems like there was fraudulent claims in Massachusetts that threw off the numbers. But the point is that you are starting to see jobless claims go up. They have to, just with all the tech people that we know that have gotten laid off from their jobs. I mean, it just seems improbable that that's going to continue.
Well, you know, I think the thing is that, you know, when we talk about unemployment, there are times when everybody starts to lose their job if you go into a recession. And we had talked about this in a previous blog that we wrote, which is the lower wage groups are the ones who are much less likely to lose their jobs now, because lots of employers couldn't even find people to work during and after the pandemic. And those people are very reluctant to let people go. But if you look at the tech industry, there was a giant amount of hiring because tech was growing like a banshee. And they actually, we heard stories about like people who really didn't have very much to do who were hired. And so that's why we're seeing a lot more cuts in the tech industry. And I think the expectation is that more of the jobs that will be cut this time around are going to be more middle management kind of jobs,
white
collar jobs. And that's one thing that we think might be different about a recession this time, if we have one later this year.
I think it's going to be a kind of a rude awakening for people our children's age, because they've never really been through anything like this before. And it's really hitting at what they all do. And, you know, they've gotten used to going into the office if they do go and getting lunch and et cetera, all these perks. And all of a sudden they're going to have a job. They can't find a job. And they may have to do jobs that they considered beneath them. So it's going to be very interesting to see, you know, delivering newspapers. I don't think so.
You know, and I just want to address the timing issue a little bit, because when the Fed raises interest rates to slow the economy, one sentence that has come out of Jerome Powell over and over again is that it works with long and variable lags. And so while we might have had concerns about an upcoming recession as early as last November, December, it didn't mean that it was going to happen in the next month or the next couple of months. I mean, long and variable lags are basically 6 to 18 months. So, I mean, at this point, I would say most people feel that there's going to be a recession sometime in the latter half of this year, maybe the fourth quarter. So we're still not saying it's going to happen tomorrow. There are other things that could happen tomorrow, but it may not be, you know, the recession that everyone's waiting for.
Although average weekly initial claims for unemployment insurance are one of the 10 leading economic indicators, they are really not a good leading indicator. It's really continuing claims that are a better indicator, but it's not you don't know about that until later. So it's not something they look at. So it's a little bit problematic. The other thing that has been pretty predictive has been an inverted yield curve. What they're basically looking at is the 3-month Treasury bill minus the 10-year Treasury note yield. When you've seen spikes in this indicator, it's been associated with recession. If you go and look at our chart that we have associated with this blog, you can actually see that.
Right, and the basic idea here is that the economy starts running hot and interest rates rise because people are expecting, you know, a strong economy going forward. And in this case, we actually had interest rates also rising because we had high inflation. And when the Federal Reserve wants to cool down the economy to slow inflation, one of their tools for doing that is raising short-term rates. So it's really no surprise that, you know, when the Fed raises short-term rates to the point where they're above 10-year rates, so right now, you know, short-term rates are between 5 and 5.25%. That's because of the Fed. That's on purpose. And the Treasury bond has been kind of floating around between 3.3 and 4.0 because partly people are worried about recession, but also partly because people don't think inflation is going to remain this high for 10 years. The signal that we're getting is the economy is going to slow down because everything is going to become very expensive in terms of borrowing money. So if you want to buy a house, you'll notice that things are more expensive. If you want to buy a car, your car loan is going to be more expensive. If a company wants to raise debt, they're going to have to pay more for it. And so all of these things slow behavior because, you know, when prices go up, people do less of it.
There's never been an inverted yield curve setting that didn't foreshadow a recession in corporate profits. You can always say this time is different, but it certainly looks like there is going to be a recession in corporate profits. And on top of that, you know, there's this idea of how much demand there is for borrowing. And when you look at the senior loan officer survey, it showed that there was a further tightening and you already had recessionary lending standards. It makes sense that banks are unwilling to lend. Banks have some problems right now. It's kind of a whole bunch of problems if you think about it. It's they're not willing to lend because they're worried about the credit quality of who they're lending to as the economy gets worse. They're also a little bit unwilling to lend because of the recent bank failures and the requirement most likely from Federal Deposit Insurance, which is going to be steeper and they're going to be more onerous in terms of the standards that they have to adhere to.
The FDIC, which insures deposits, and the FDIC is the organization that paid off the depositors in these bank failures.
Which is why Biden keeps saying that the U.S. taxpayer is not going to pay
it. Right, it's not the U.S. taxpayer, but it is the banks because the FDIC, which was created after the Depression to stop runs on the bank, the FDIC gets its money from the banks themselves. So the banks pay the FDIC, and that gives them the money that they can use if the FDIC insurance is needed. Well, you know, there are little bank failures here and there all the time, and that's not really a problem. But we just had three relatively large ones, and so the FDIC paid out quite a large amount of money. And so to recoup that, they're going to probably have to raise the insurance rates from the banks. And that's just a lower profitability for the bank. That's just money going out the door when that happens.
I mean, the banks have got issues to begin with. I mean, their source of funding is deposits. And the cost of those deposits are going up as people can get higher rates by going to a money market fund or putting their money elsewhere. So their cost of funds are going up and they don't have as many places they want to lend the money to. And on top of that, the loans that they have on their books, they're going to start worrying about the credit quality of them. So it's not a business I'd like to particularly be in right now, I'll just say.
Right. Should people be saving more? Are they saving more? How are they reacting to this?
To higher rates. You know, if you're worried about your job, you're probably saving more. You are excited by 4.5% that you could get. You could you know, put that in a...
Yeah, I mean, in the past, when it was 0% interest rates, people really didn't have a reason to put money in the bank that was earning nothing. It's kind of frustrating. Although I think in the past, you know, especially in 2020 and 2021, people said, oh, you know, look at this rocketing stock market. I'm just going to buy stocks with my cash rather than leave it at 0%. Now it's trickier, especially for everyone who lost 20% last year.
Yeah, and I think if you think that things are going to cost more in the future because of inflation, then you would buy things now. So that would actually discourage savings. Mm-hmm. So inflation discourages savings, that's for sure. But higher rates kind of
offsets
that's what they're trying to do. The question is, will they do it?
Yeah. Well, now actually, I mean, at 4.5%, and that's just for like treasury bills or 5 even, you're running above current inflation. So you're no longer in this sort of negative scenario that you were last year where inflation was high and interest rates were low. So you were losing money by holding cash. You're not really losing money now. You're at least treading water.
I think one of the reasons the market may be up is that people are worried about inflation in the future. And so a way to hedge that is to put money in the market. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're saying, you know, I'd rather not have a bond, even though it's paying me pretty decently. I'd rather have a stock that I have chances of, you know,
appreciation.
And in some cases, the dividends could increase as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of what's going on.
Well, after all this doom and gloom, there are bright spots, which are the reason why the market is up. Employment, we've talked about, has been strong. We have some concerns. But the other thing that's been quite strong is consumer spending. And these things do go hand in hand. When people are employed, then they have money that they spend. And so consumer spending is about 2/3 of the U.S. economy. So if people are employed and they're buying stuff, the U.S. economy is usually doing pretty well, which is really what's been happening so far this year. So we're not arguing with the reaction to the past or maybe even the present. What we're concerned about is just the future. And even on the consumer spending front, bank willingness to lend affects them, because if consumers can't have as high credit card balances or they find it harder to borrow money from a bank, then they'll have less money to spend. On top of that, we have the issue of student loans. So if the student loan moratorium is over and people who have student loans have to start making those payments again, I think that takes about $300 a month on average out of those people's pocket, which will not be used on buying goods or services. So that's another kind of possible impending spending
issue. Also, if rates go up and you do buy a house or you have a floating rate mortgage, the cost of borrowing has gone up. So you're going to have to spend money elsewhere. And, you know, I don't think we should discount the fact that people were kind of locked up for a couple of years, and so they couldn't spend money. It helped their balance sheets, it helped household balance sheets, but now that they've been freed, so to speak, you know, they're spending money, and you see it in a lot of the travel names, and you see it in the, in the airline, you know, get on an airplane. So it's not surprising, and even in some of the restaurant data, but as people lose their jobs, or as, you know, prices continue to go up, we think that they will, or the cost of money goes up, you may not see consumer spending continue
at the same pace
that it has been.
Yeah. So, you know, the thing that's interesting that's sort of counterbalancing this with a portion of the population is Social Security. So Social Security is indexed to inflation. So anybody getting a Social Security payment got a really nice bump in 2023. It was up over 9% because inflation was so high last year.
But, you know, Jerome Powell seems to think that it's possible. And he actually said this. It is possible that this time really is different.
And that is a very bad thing to say in the markets, because everyone says that is never true, that this
it's like
time
being
is
on the
different.
Cover. Yeah, it's like being on the cover of Sports Illustrated. You'll get yours.
Right. Well, he said, you know, they've raised rates by 5 percentage points in 14 months, and yet the unemployment rate at the end of that process is actually lower than it was in the beginning, and that has not happened before, and that's why he thinks it's possible, if we never get a spike in unemployment, that we might not have a recession. And but
we say, if it looks like a duck, swims like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. That's all for now. If you'd like to reach us, feel free to email us, Lori@2xwealthgroup@ingles.net or Lisa@2xwealthgroup.ingles.net. Go to our website, sign up for our blog. We look forward to talking to you. Bye now.